Now, we're recording. Anyone would like to come up today and say a few words before we begin? There we go.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, thank you for this opportunity, and I say good evening. My name is Bill Knowlton. My family and I recently moved into Cedar Hills in November into the Cedars neighborhood. We absolutely love this community. We lived in Scottsdale, Arizona for about 8 years before moving here, and it's been wonderful to move into another golf course-centric community and all of the benefits that that provides. Just a couple of points. I am new to this issue, and I am trying to learn as much information as I can. Based upon my understanding, there is a bond which is at issue for many residents of the city. It's my understanding that regardless of whether the course stays open or closed, that bond will remain. It's also my understanding that that bond has been paid down by a third thus far, and the issue continues to trend downward as more payments are made each day. Second, it's my understanding that the golf course has an operational deficit of about $75,000 per year. However, that operational deficit does not take into account the revenue generated from renting out the Vista Room for different sorts of events. It's also my understanding there are other options to generate revenue for the golf course which have not yet been fully explored, such as alcohol sales. I know there are some personal and religious predilections to selling alcohol on this course. I would, however, remind Mr. Chairman and the committee that Walmart employs many of our teenagers in this neighborhood and also sells alcohol, as does many of the gas stations. Third, many of the alternatives I've seen to closing the golf course have tremendous upfront costs. They have continuing operational costs thereafter and zero revenue generation benefits thereafter. Fourth, and perhaps more importantly, the Cedars neighborhood was developed with very strict CC&Rs, which are covenants and promises, which the city had oversight and input into. Those CC&Rs had strict requirements for open space. The city is required to keep that open space. In the event a hasty decision is made without proper legal counsel, I am certain, as an attorney and as a litigator, the litigation risk is substantial for the city and for the taxpayers in this community. And I ask that every reasonable step be taken to evaluate those risks before closing the course is considered. I thank you for your time, and thank you for your service.
Thank you. Is someone timing this by any chance?
No.
We can do that.
I don't think so.
Mr. Chair, can I make a suggestion?
Please.
We did get started without the recording. It may be a good idea for you to say what day it is, what committee is meeting today, the time that the meeting commenced, and then go from that point.
Okay, great. We are meeting as a golf course finance committee. Today is Thursday, August 20th. What else did you want to know in there? I'm sorry. There was a long list of menu items there. We're going to be discussing many issues in regard to the golf course. And we're here at the Cedar Hills Community Center. Thank you.
And it's the year 2000.
Thank you very much.
It's 2015 as
well. We're opening up to public comments right now. So go ahead. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Tanya Edelson. I also live in the Cedars development, and you've probably heard a lot from me on Facebook. But I wasn't here last week to get a chance to talk, and I appreciate you taking a little bit of time to hear from me. My first thing is we've lived here about 9.5 years, and our first 2 weeks in was our first fight about the golf course. We're very frustrated. We're very tired of this coming up every 2 years. It's something that we bought into. It's something that we like about our community. We get to see all of the recreation that happens up there. We drive by, there are people coming by our house all the time. I was just in Disneyland, and the people in front of me said, "Oh, where are you from?" I said, "Oh, a little town by Provo, kind of." Like, "Oh, we're from Sandy. What's that town?" I said, "Oh, Cedar Hills." The first thing that guy said to me is, "I love your golf course. I miss having a golf course like this, like that in California." So he knows of it. We're known. We know it. I've already have 5 coworkers come down here and golf just because I've said it's a great golf course. What I'm concerned about is that there's been talk about the fact that maybe the golf course should be handed over to us, or it's not fair that everybody's paying for our golf course. I just want to point out that our HOA assessment is $45 per house each month. There's 324 households involved in this. $106,000 per year subsidizes our streets. We have to pay for our private streets. The city doesn't have to. We pay for our own utilities, our own upkeep of our park. And on top of that, there's more money, almost $57,000 or $50,000 that we pay to administer our HOA. And the city made a promise when they took on this development. And I think it's only fair. We weren't there to vote when this came up. The city invited our residents to come in here. And I just think that as a community, we're asking you to keep that promise and keep that in your mind if this goes to a vote, that that is part of the presentation to the residents as the vote comes up. Thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone else? Please.
No, I have a question.
Sure.
If this is now being recorded and it wasn't previously, should Mr. Moulton here have an opportunity to say his part again?
I'll be going here.
How about this?
I think it was recorded.
If at the end of the meeting today you feel like there was something he said that wasn't said well enough, we'll invite him to come back up and do it again.
I think he was recorded.
It was recorded. The thing
that we had not done was just on the recording said that we were starting a meeting, what time we were starting, and where we are. That's the only thing that we had neglected.
Thank you, though. Anyone else today? Ken.
Excuse me. My name is Ken Cromar, researcher for Cedar Hill Citizens for Responsible Government and a former city councilman. I wanted to just get on the record because I'm not sure if people here know about it or if it's been found, but we did post the first meeting 3 weeks ago, or two actual weeks ago, on Facebook and, or excuse me, on YouTube, and put a link to it on Facebook. So if anybody's looking for that, that's where that's at. I did ask Mayor Gigi if last week's was posted, because I couldn't find it on the city website. And do we know who has that and if it'll actually get posted?
Well, please. Someone with the city staff, I'm sure, has it. And so we'll make sure that they do get put up.
Okay, very good. The reason I bring that up is I think it's interesting having re-listened to the videotape and played through my mind what happened last week. That it's, in my opinion, it's pretty clear that this committee is rather stacked. It's rather unrepresentative of percentage of golfers versus non-golfers. I recognize that there's no member from Cedar Hill Citizens for Responsible Government, very well known and respected alternate voice for what happens in the city. And I find that interesting that it's definitely leaning in a direction, and you can tell that by just simply listening to the comments that are made. Forgive me, Rick, but your chairing has been very, very lopsided, and you even said, I am very passionate and opinionated, and I am not embarrassed to stand on my position, but that's not the position of a chairperson, and you're supposed to have decorum to make sure that everybody is heard and that there's order in the room. So with that, I just would encourage this committee to reconsider its construction, and that we really not put a whole lot of weight in what happens here, and that we just simply get the information to the citizens, and that we begin the dialogue that this has needed to happen for well over 10 years, and let the citizens with the information be fully informed and then make a decision, and that's really the best way to go. And I hope the September newsletter begins with that year-by-year declaration of how much this golf course has actually cost the taxpayers in subsidies. And please do not count the weddings as part of golf revenue. That's a completely different issue. Thanks very much.
Please. I will say this. I want to say one thing about it. Well, it's at the end of public comments, we'll talk about that. Go ahead, Ken.
My name's Ken Kirk. I've lived in Cedar Hills for approximately 14 and a half years. I live at 4486 Downing Drive. Excuse me. The accusations that were made about this committee, I find appalling. I've just heard from an individual that apparently is one of those citizens in our community and in the world and in America today that when they don't get the answer they want to go someplace else until they do. It doesn't matter whether the answer is correct or not. It's just they're dissatisfied with it, so they take it to the media, they take it to everybody they can. And I don't know what it's going to take to get this resolved in this community, but I don't know a city council that has been organized, voted on by the citizens of this community, that haven't looked into everything that you've already looked into and come up with the same decision that you've come up with. Legally, it's a hassle. It's hoops of fire that are impossible to jump through. Commitments have been made to citizens. And you know what? There are citizens in this community that enjoy the golf course. There are a lot of them that have spoken tonight. So I don't know how we're going to get this accusation about being an unfair committee. I don't know what's so unfair about it. And this is not the first time this committee has met. I don't know if it's constituted the same as it was before. But, you know, you just because you're not a golfer or you are a golfer doesn't mean that you can't come up with a rational and a valued decision that's going to support our community as a community representative. I thank each and every one of you for the job you're doing. And I don't think you're biased at all. And I don't think we need to reconstitute another committee just because one citizen says that you're biased in some way. Thank you.
You're here.
New to this issue, Scott Beebe, just lived down the road a bit. We moved here 2.5 years ago. One of the big reasons we did was the golf course. Lived in Glenmore area out in South Jordan before and looked for a specific area that would meet our needs as a family to recreate. And this was one of those. So I actually caught the newsletter via email yesterday. It was the first I'd heard about it. And I'm very concerned. As a citizen, obviously as a golfer, to keep this golf course here. People who come in from out of town are amazed that there is such a public golf course in Utah County. I love it. I'm going to get more educated from what I've heard tonight and want to get more involved. But as a citizen, you know, I plead with you guys to keep the golf course. It's what we need. It's what we love and love living here. Want to continue to live here, but if the golf course goes, we probably go as well. So thanks.
Mr. Chairman, did I use all my 3 minutes?
Yeah, 30 seconds left, Ken. Good luck.
31 and a half.
Ken Kirk again. I just have to introduce myself one more time, like the former person did, not the last one, the one before him. I'm a former city council member also, more recently than he. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead. That inspired you to come back and do it. I'm glad. I want to know what you got to say.
No, but what I was going to say, he's gone, so it makes no sense. But I kind of have a problem with the fact that on Facebook we're constantly saying nobody's going to the golf course. Now we're having a problem because you guys golf. Oh my gosh, what problem do we have with that? Aren't we supposed to help our own golf course? Kind of seems ridiculous that even if every single person in this entire city played some golf, there would be some sort of bias regardless. And I think that's a ridiculous accusation anyway.
Thank you. What's your name?
I'm almost afraid to say. My name is Alan Fulmer, and I am in the Cedars West.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Ben Ellsworth. I live in the Cedars. We moved here about two and a half years ago as well. One of the reasons why we moved here was because of the golf course and the beautiful views it gave us from our home. We moved here from Los Angeles, where I golfed just as frequently as I do here, twice a year, in some local tournaments. But we absolutely love it, and we would be devastated if it were shut down and turned into something completely different that didn't generate any fun, any revenue for us. One of the other things I would like to note is I've recently taken a job at Adobe, and I'm in a group that's hiring a lot of people actually from out of state. And these people, one of the things they always come up with is, where do we golf around here? And without me saying anything about the golf course, I always hear the Cedar Hills Golf Course is one of the best in the region to use. So please don't shut it down. It's getting its name out there. It's getting better and better every day. Thank you.
Maybe one more comment if you'd like, where we're done. Going, going, gone. I will say this before we start about, because there's been, you know, Mr. Cromar, his comments about bias on the committee. This committee was put together 2 years ago for a specific purpose. It was put together to look at the state of the golf course. It was a financial study, is to see exactly what's happened to the golf course, where it's at financially. It really isn't a committee that was put together to debate whether we should have a golf course or not. The second half of that committee mandate was to create or to make suggestions for improvements for the golf course. And at the end of that, we did both of those things well. You know, we're serious thinkers about these things. We don't want to see things covered up. We want to see it straight out. Numbers are what numbers are. And we also want to have someone who knew enough or people that knew enough about golf that they could help do something with the course, help make good suggestions. Even in this committee today, the purpose of this committee is not to debate whether or not we should have a golf course. It's not what it's about. It's about taking hard, critical looks at alternatives to the golf course. And because we have a golf course and the golf course is here, if there's a suggestion the golf course needs to be torn down and something else go in its place, then there had better be a very serious, robust conversation about it, because the last thing we want to do is ready, fire, aim. So if there's a suggestion somewhere, this golf course, that there's a better plan for the golf course, I think it's in everybody's best interest that that is looked at in the most critical way possible, in a serious way. And that's what's going to happen here. If you look at the transcripts or what happens here, we're not talking about people that just say, hey, I love golf, and you know, I just want to golf, and this is where I want to be, and you're taking away my recreation. We're looking at things from a financial perspective. We're looking at things from a social perspective. We're looking at things as a community, and it's going to be hard. And if you're going to come with suggestions to tear down the golf course, you had better be prepared to put a good argument together. And this committee is going to make sure that happens. That's it. All right. Well, thank you, public, for your comments. We've had good public comments every week, and we appreciate that. We know it's scary. It's scary on all sides, and that's important. The first thing we're going to really go over today, and probably, hopefully, the bulk of what we're going to talk about today, is a closer look at the legal discussions and the legal issues as best as we can. We're going to have to tread a little bit lightly as we discuss these legal issues, because there are some ramifications beyond just what happens here today. And so we have to be a little bit careful. There's more information that we were able to discuss in a closed session than probably we'll be able to discuss here. But some of that information, I think, is pretty key to what has to, into the next step in this committee. And so we're going to, I hope, gently tread on those items. There were three of us here in that session. There was Rob Crawley and Brent Aaron and myself. And so I would suggest, if I can, that maybe we try to give a gentle and light overview of some of the complications to going forward with doing something different with the golf course than just keeping it a golf course. If you feel that we're getting too close, would you please speak up sooner rather than later?
Gladly.
I don't want a misdemeanor. What is it? I don't want to go to jail. And so
that would be a felony.
I don't want a felony. So you can stop me. You can stop me at misdemeanor. If I get to felony, then you have to stop. And same thing with the rest. So what they basically discussed with David Shaw, who was the city attorney today, is something that has been discussed at other times in other councils and other committees. And this information isn't new, but it's new to this committee. And it has been information that I think has been kept pretty close to the vest. And because of that, I think we have some of these issues that keep reappearing over and over again. I would hope maybe this time around, if we get a little more fearless about it, it might prevent some of what's been happening, I think, from coming in the future. We'll see. My understanding, and please Rob and Brent, will you just,
sure.
will you stop and interject at any point in time, is there are basically two, I'll call them two, but there's more in here, two major roadblocks to doing something different with this land than having it stay and remain a golf course. And I will say this, for those of you who love the golf course, two meetings ago we discussed the situation of the golf course. There's some impressions that are out there that it's not doing well as a golf course. We have seen that compared to the other golf courses around, it's doing better than the other golf courses around. It's really a successful golf course. It really is. Now, whether the city wants to pay for a successful golf course or not, that's up to the citizens. That's a different story. But it is, as golf courses go, it's doing well as a golf course. So I don't want to leave that. But anyway, there are two major impediments to doing something different with this land other than letting it remain a golf course. The most serious of these is the bond. So we have a bond that about $5 million, Rob? Is that about right? We've decided.
I think he said $5.3 million.
$5.3 million
plus interest.
Plus, yeah, that's right. That's remaining on the bond, and there's 20 years left on this bond to pay off the golf course. Most citizens, you can think of it as an average of maybe $130 or $150 a month, basically a year in your city taxes goes towards paying that bond. That's what we're really talking about. That's the bigger figure, as opposed to operational fees or whatnot. That's kind of the figure that's involved. But with this bond, there are major rules attached to it. In order for this bond to stay as it is and intact, this land has to be a golf course. If it changes, am I right? I'm putting this as simply as I can. Please help me fix this. If it changes into anything else other than a golf course, then that bond basically is revoked. And what has to happen immediately at that point is we have to pay off the entire bond.
At that time, immediately.
So if you say the golf course closes, it becomes a park or whatever, or we want to sell some land or whatever, the minute that happens, the bond is due, has to be paid. So that's one major...
Yeah, the minute any action is actually taken.
Any action at all.
Yeah.
And the city's liable for that 5.3 upfront?
Oh yeah. It'd have to pay it off.
And does the city have means to pay that?
No.
Yeah. What does any action mean when you say any action? What is that?
Specifically, the language of the bond says that if the property is sold, alienated, or converted to private use in violation of the IRS private activity use rules, then that triggers a mandatory redemption of the bonds. Which means they have to be paid off.
Now, would a park count as alienation then?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes. Alienation would be a change from the current use to something else. Now, if you were to enhance the golf course with something else that's golf course related, then perhaps not. But where would you get the money to do that? So
the premise here is we wouldn't likely want to do such a thing, or we couldn't afford to do such a thing until the bond is paid off. And once the bond's paid off, it doesn't matter if it's alienated anymore.
Bond's paid off, you can do what you want with the property.
Now, there may also be options in 2023.
There may be optional redemption options. Those may be somewhat restricted by the fact that the city has already refinanced once. And so we would have to look at the refinance rules and see what you're doing.
Now, but at earliest, that would be 2023 that those options would even potentially become available.
That's right. And then there are staggering options.
Okay.
So that's the first big hurdle.
First big hurdle.
So there would have to be – that's a big hurdle if you wanted to do that. And that's what's interesting about that is you really can't do anything else with the land either.
Yes.
So the interest is another one.
I did mention the interest. Yeah.
6.8. That would make us pay up $6.8 million to do that.
Yes.
Immediately.
Now, one other thing I would make mention of is that if the property were converted into a private use instead of a governmental use, let's say you sold the entire golf course to a private golf course company to operate, then that would also trigger additional penalties. Relative to a conversion of the tax-exempt bonds to converting them into taxable bonds. I'll explain that briefly. The bondholders purchased these bonds believing that they would that the interest earnings would be tax exempt. If the property were converted to a private use, then that would likely trigger the private activity use rules, meaning it would convert that tax-exempt interest earning to a taxable interest earning. The bondholders would not like that very much.
Right.
Because they'd all have to go back and pay taxes.
And what would happen to the city likely if that happened?
I'll decline to comment.
Yeah, we'll be sued. I'll comment on that.
Misdemeanor. Right there.
Yeah, well, sorry. Maybe. Well, he didn't say that. That's my guess. So there we go.
Please, Rob, did you have a comment on that? I thought I saw your hand go up.
I was just going to say, just to clarify, and I think you've said it, but just to make sure. So essentially, if the council were to vote to get rid of the golf course, or if it were to go to the citizens and they voted to not have a golf course, immediately that bond would come due. It's not, hey, we can develop the land and then pay it back. As soon as an action is taken.
I don't know about a vote, but the moment you actually commit to altering, actually somebody sticks a shovel into
The specific language is the sale, alienation, sale, or conversion to private use.
Okay. Yeah.
Alienation includes
it does. The only way around this topic, which I don't know if there's public interest in doing so, would be for the citizens to bond all together for another bond and pay off this original bond. That's the only creative way I can think around that.
But you'd have to try to negotiate out of the interest piece.
It would cost a lot of money, but I'm just saying it's not a pathway I'm suggesting. I'm just
more than
pointing
a million.
Out
it would cost more than a million to do that.
Yeah, and the interest would be at a higher rate because today's marketplace is different than when these bonds went out.
One thing I want to point out is that there would be a possibility of negotiating, but the away some of the interest, but that would be a hard process that our attorney has talked about. He said it. We don't know how much it would cost. We don't know how hard it would be. It would be a difficult process to try to negotiate out of it because we don't know how many shareholders of the bond there are out there. So,
yep. So there's the bond.
That's the first issue.
Yes. And that's clear cut, cut in stone. That's just what it is. There's the second side, though, which we'll be more delicate with and we'll just be a little more vague with, and that is we have the development agreement.
Correct.
We have the CCNRs from the Cedars and the homeowners, some of the language in the homeowners
HOA.
And what it basically, I would say, is that we've made commitments for this land to be this land. And the people that we've made that commitment to still own lots in this land for sale. And they would not have an interest in changing this property, I suspect, while they still have lots to sell. And so that, if we tried to do that, it could cause trouble for the city that way. Plus, other interested parties in the city who felt like the rug was jerked out from underneath them would be in a circumstance where they may have some problems with it. And that could cause trouble for them. It will cause money, significant, to do that. Anybody want to add?
Is that number two?
That's number two, three, and four.
I have one that might be a part of that.
They're kind of together.
I'm not sure, so I'll leave it.
All of that is kind of tied into the development agreement.
Yes.
Because is that right? They're all. There's different avenues of groups or parties that are connected to that development agreement that would all perhaps feel hurt and damaged by the process, right?
Correct.
Good. That's as far as I feel we need to go on that issue, unless you feel like there's something more that needs to be said on that.
No, you covered the two major things I was thinking of as well.
Okay.
So. There, last meeting, there were several other ones that legal counsel raised up that maybe we should include in the list. One was the conservation easement. And another one was IRS regulations.
The IRS regulations, my understanding, are linked to the bond restrictions.
Yes, those are the private
activity
use rules that I referred
to. That's the 1.8 million.
So there's no other IRS regs other than the bond related.
Not to my knowledge.
So that was covered in the interest rate?
So that was, yeah.
So the conservation easement was maybe the only other legal...
There is another legal question that we haven't talked about a lot that we might be able to discuss a little bit here, and that is the idea that can you then say, I would like to vote on what to do with the golf course? I would like to have a vote that says, I want a golf course, I don't want a golf course. There isn't really... tell me about that. What's happening? What about that?
Yeah, there's not an easy mechanism for the city council to put that sort of a question on the ballot. In order for something to go on the ballot, there has to be specific statutory authorization. And I'm not aware of any specific statutory authorization that would say, should we have a golf course or should we not? Now, it was a different question in 2012 when we put on the ballot, should there be a general obligation bond which increases your property tax in order to refinance the golf course debt? That was an allowable question. But the types of questions that the city council is allowed to put on a citizen ballot are few and far between. There are other mechanisms available for citizens to bring ballot questions in their own right, but that's not something left for the city council.
Can I ask a question? There's been talk over the years about, we should sell the course to a developer or somebody, you know, make it private, sell it to somebody. And you just raised a moment ago about this tax exempt versus taxable.
Yes.
And I guess what I'm asking is, is our city not in a position to sell the golf course to a private party? Is that not one of our options?
In 2023, we could probably refinance our debt or pay off the debt. And if we could sell it for the amount of the bond, but that's 7 years away. As I understand it, we could probably do it then if we could get the price of the golf course.
Or we could risk penalties if we were to do it earlier than that.
Right.
Yeah, well, if you were to sell it lock, stock, and barrel and be able to pay off everything under the mandatory redemption, then you might be able to do that because at that point it's not really a conversion of the tax exempt to taxable. You've sold the property and paid off the bonds. That's a different issue. Equally difficult is, can you find a willing buyer?
Yeah, but there's not a, yes. I mean, as long as we sell it for amount equal to what we owe on the bond, then we're essentially fine, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't want there to be such doom and gloom about the bonds to say that that you can't do something and pay them off. But that's the point, is when you do something, you have to pay them off.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's not a clear will. If there was a clear will among the citizens that said, this is what we want to do, but that remains to be seen in a big way, whether anybody would even want to do it. There's some that do. But all right, well, does that help everyone on this committee get a clearer view of what's going on with the legal? It is, in my opinion, a huge, huge undertaking if you have the will. It isn't, it's going to be expensive. It doesn't seem fiscally responsible. And you're going to make a lot of people angry and make a few people a little bit slightly happier to $130 a year happier, is what I think. That makes sense. Rob.
Yes, sir.
What do you got, brother?
I'd want to, if I have a few minutes.
Yes, please.
Okay. My analysis is what started this whole upheaval, so I feel responsible to talk a little bit here. The first reason I wanted to look into this is that I, as a city council member, feel like when there is something that does take a substantial amount of cash of the city, I need to look at it and see, is it something that we need to do, we have to do, we ought to do? You know, what are our obligations? And honestly, a lot of the reasons why we couldn't do anything different, I found out to be not quite true. So I felt like it was important for me to look into it personally, not just for me, but there are a lot of people on my side of the world over there that don't live by the golf course that feel that we ought to look into the golf course finances and make sure it's something that's worthwhile to the city. So I felt responsible that we need to look at it. But part of the reason that I felt responsible to look at it is because there still was ongoing and has been ongoing arguments back and forth about whether we should, as a city, continue the golf course. And without all the facts out there, I didn't feel like that we would ever get to a point where we're all on the same page or where there was peace with our decision as a city. My hope was that no matter what we discover, whether it goes towards keeping the golf course or not keeping the golf course, that bringing all the information to light would bring more peace to the city. And that's why I felt that I should look at it. Granted, I didn't know it would be this big of an issue. I thought that I'd quietly do my work and report to it on, about it on Facebook, but obviously I got a lot of people worked up looking at it because there's a lot of people that feel really strongly about the golf course that live by it. And honestly, I am impressed that you guys come out each time and state your opinion so eloquently. And so my eyes have been opened as far as how strongly people feel about the golf course that live close to it. There are the one thing that I want to mention that in order for this to bring peace, whichever side, you know, got their way, I should say, in a way, the gloating, I think, could happen that would make everyone else say, oh, I don't feel good about this because we still have to pay for it. It does help those people over there, and now they're gloating about how it is so good for the whole city, where some people may not still feel that way. And so I think that, you know, there are some real obstacles, and I've become aware of a lot more about them throughout this process, a little bit at a time, and especially when we brought our attorney. But what I feel is that we have to be honest about what it costs the city, and I think there will be a lot less contention. When part of the contention started because we started out saying that it was going to make $150,000 profit per year, and it ended up losing quite a bit of money per year. If we would have looked at golf courses in the area and saw that they were actually being supplemented and said this will be supplemented, but we as a city ought to do it, even though it will cost some money to us, it will, you know, add value to the homes and whatnot. If we had come into it being completely upfront about that possibility that it costing money, I think there would have been less arguments. Then once it was losing money, if we'd been open about that it was losing money instead of floating the word operationally profitable, which has never been an accurate term, I think that there would have been less arguments, you know, because then there's people that come out like me and say, well, here's the profits according to the financial statements. And they don't show operationally profitable even for 1 year. There's one financial statement, the cash statement of cash flows, that one or two years had cash flow from operations as positive. But that doesn't mean operationally profitable because that doesn't include depreciation on equipment that's being used in the golf course. Operationally profitable means you have a profit from operations, which the golf course has never had. So statements like that, we have to face reality. We are supplementing the golf course.
Can I add to that just one little bit?
Yeah.
Two things. First of all, I don't think the discussion about the golf course has been a bad thing for the, well, all of it hasn't been a bad thing for the city. Some of it, I think, has been hard for the city. Mm-hmm. If it continues to always be the eternal war, it's bad for the city.
I agree.
At some point in time, for me, I don't mind. You know, I honestly don't mind the discussion, but the fatigue of reevaluating it every year, every 2 years, is hard.
It is.
And I don't think that's good for the city.
Right.
Now that said, yeah, there's been you know, statements and rosy scenarios and hopeful comments over the years, but I know that 2 years ago when this committee came together, that all of those were cut through. And the numbers that came out were clear. And I'll tell you what my experience was. I mean, if you put no positive spin on those numbers, if you just laid it out straight and just said, let's just, the golf course, I would say it all the time, even though this is an exaggeration, but I would exaggerate and say, they'd say, well, how's the golf course doing? And I would say, it costs the city $600,000 a year. That's what it costs. You know, people would say, okay. Mm-hmm. So they'd say, and there wasn't pitchforks and there wasn't torches.
Right.
And you notice when we have public comments like this, we get a variety of people. Granted, a lot come from the Cedars whose lives are very connected to this issue, very much so. Right. But it's always different people. You know, it's always different. But the same people have been fighting the golf course over and over and over. And they always talk like, well, there's this invisible mass that's right behind us. And I get it. That's the frustration for me. Other than that, honestly, I'm great with the discussion, but I'm hoping that with the end of this committee, we can come up with something that the citizens can have that isn't, that there's no obfuscating, there's no rosy scenarios, there's just truth. There might be some positive news, there might be some negative news, but if we can lay something out in the end where all parties can at least say the information is right there in our hands, and I just feel as a citizen of this community, this needs to be laid to rest. It needs to end with this committee. And if not, I want to hold people responsible for it because I'm tired of it. I am.
Pitchforks and hangings.
Rick? Yes.
Pitchforks and hangings.
I'll leave the pitchforks and the torches on that one.
I think that there are opportunities for some healing. You mentioned the meeting that this committee had 2 years ago. And I distinctly remember there being some relief, and I've mentioned this in the past, that there being a sense of relief when the city was no longer arguing about where it was, because there was finally some consensus about where the city was. And I believe that likewise, as we come to a consensus on, okay, what are the legal challenges that we face? What are the challenges, considering any alternatives versus keeping the golf course, et cetera. As we are honest in providing that information now, I believe that it will continue to help clear the air. And as the air is cleared and as people see more clearly, I believe that it helps to bring to pass some of the healing. So as far as I'm concerned, I believe that the best thing we can do is exactly what you were saying, is make the information simply as plain as possible. And I believe that that in itself will help do the most to, I don't know if we'll ever be able to shut down people from discussing it, but bringing some peace.
Well, I have a motion then.
I have a couple more comments.
Rob,
to make.
Please go.
I did want to bring up that some of the blatant facts about the golf course, like for instance, I have brought this up before on Facebook, but I think it's important to bring up in this meeting. We have budgeted to spend about $800,000 cash on the golf course in this next fiscal year, 2015 to 2016, and that is about $350,000 to $380,000 in bond payments that we will pay out, $300,000 in a facility for maintenance for the golf course, and then we've budgeted, I think it was around $180,000 for supplementing the golf course from other funds for the shortfall in cash. So it comes to about $800,000. So that is part of being upfront about the costs of maintaining the golf course that I'm talking about. Yeah, there are some real obstacles. There are some real costs. And lightning, saying it's going to cost only $75,000 to maintain the golf course. Yes, the bond will be there either way. The bond will be there if we keep the golf course. If there was a way to sell some land and pay off the bond, that wouldn't be there. And that was part of my proposal is to do that. There's obviously some obstacles to that. There are ways around those obstacles, but they cost money. Whether they cost more money than what we're going to spend on the golf course over the next 5 or 6 years. I'm not 100% convinced of that. There's still some research items that I mentioned in our previous meeting that were assumptions that were not clear. But I think that it's important. I still have one or two things to look into before I'm ready to say, I think we put this to rest at least for 7 years till 2023. There's still two or three items I will look into. But 2023 is when it kind of gets looked at again. And hopefully we will have progress the golf course to where it's really, I want to say that Wade and team has done such a wonderful job that we are headed in the right direction with the golf course. If we keep making progress like that, I think that 2023 may come and we may just say, we've done so well, we're not even going to look at this. So anyway,
The city council wouldn't try to make any implication that the golf course is going to be a money-making endeavor. I would hope that they were, because like for instance, even if it is operationally profitable, for whatever that means,
yes,
I would hope that they would set money aside for capital improvements. I would hope that there would be money to fix and repair and to make it something that's nice for the city, something that's continually replenished and done. And that's something I guess citizens can debate about. But I would be very I would be careful about ever trying to suggest that this, that the golf course needs to make money. It needs to do well. It needs to provide a service that it provides. But in my opinion, like I've said before, it doesn't need to make any more money than a public park does. It doesn't need to make any more money than a trail or anything else that the city provides for its citizens as an amenity. Now, there is no question that for the amount of open green space that we have, it's cheap. You know, you can't get this much open green space is taken care of for the kind of money we're talking about. But I'm just saying, I would hope even down the future, the idea that we would suggest that this is going to be a cash flow positive, if it ever happened, that would be wonderful. But I think it's unfair to suggest to the citizens that it should be, or that it is going to be. And I think that works with both sides. I think those who don't like the golf course, they don't want to hear rosy scenarios. But those who do like the golf course, I would hope that they would come into this saying, look, I don't want to be held to that standard. I want it to be held to the standard of any other amenity that a city has. And if there needs to be improvements to make it better and more beautiful and make our city more beautiful, then that's just part of it. And if that isn't good enough, then let the chips fall where they may. That's my opinion is all. Well, can I make my suggestion? Oh, sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
So I just want to get a status check where we're at in the process. So we're here in part because Rob had a plan and an idea of what we should explore, what might be better. I think those are the terms that you've used. And when we met last week, you said, Rob, we had one or two remaining questions. And then this week you still have one or two remaining questions. I personally would like this committee to stay intact and remain here and keep meeting until Rob is out of questions. What I don't want to do is dissolve and have this committee go away and then the premise is still out there. Well, the golf committee didn't tackle everything. They didn't address all the questions. So if we're talking about putting this to bed once and for all, then we need to basically address every single question that there is so that there is no remaining questions. That's just, and I don't know where we're at in that process for you. Mm-hmm. I know today you said that you still have a few more questions. At some point, I'm hoping we can come to this meeting where you're out of questions. Everything's been addressed. And then you can, mm-hmm. I guess we as a committee, because you're one voice on that committee, we can ascertain what is the better path. Is it better to promote this idea of the city council or this one? But at some point, I'm hoping you run out of questions. So
I feel like it's putting a lot of pressure on a lot of people to meet just because I have a couple of questions, but I think that we have not tackled some other things that need to happen in this committee, such as seeing where we're at on the suggestions we made last time, which I think we had some really good ones, and then also maybe looking at, as a business group here, what we can help the golf course improve with and trying to come up with suggestions to improve the golf course. So I would suggest that maybe those one or two things that I still am looking at, maybe we get a quick report next time we meet.
Sure.
And then tackle, you know, barring any other direction we want to go based on that.
Let me make this proposal and I think it'll answer this question for everybody. Okay. If you're right or wrong, then we can see, at least it'll help us move forward. Charles actually had a really good suggestion that I liked. He sent an email that said maybe what this committee should do is create almost answer these questions that are out there almost like an FAQ from a website, mm-hmm. where we can just basically ask all of the questions that people want answers to about every single one, mm-hmm. that they want, you know, within reason, I should say. And then as a committee, let's address each of those questions. So one would be the legal, one would be the history of the golf course. One would be, how's the golf course doing now? One would be, how's the Vista Room doing now? Basically go through, generate a list of questions that covers all of that information that we feel like the citizens could know. Because I would say that this legal discussion, for instance, has been had two times before, but the information has never been let out to the public. And so people have said, I've been down this road. I know where it ends, you know. And then, but it never gets out to people. And then we come back, and maybe we come at it from a wrong direction. This time, I think we need to do as best as we can to be as open as we can about that kind of information. Get it out so someone can just grab this list and say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, well, I have a question about this, and kind of run it that way, as opposed to a paper on this and a paper on that, just a nice long-running list of questions. And once we, as a committee, agree on what each of those questions should be, then we can just tackle each of those questions one at a time, come up with a nice one or two paragraphs on it, and release it that way. How do you feel about that?
That's actually pretty positive and productive.
And I think that's a great idea, and I'd pose this to Rob. You indicate there's a group that live by you or that you are representing, and that's why you tackle this. What do you think they would want to hear from us, one way or another? What would put it to bed for them?
I think exactly that. I think a lot of the obstacles, getting those out in the open, I think really helps.
I know Ken said to me many times he would like to know what the losses are to the golf course over the entire 10-year period of the golf course, kind of lumped into one big number.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. And one thing, I don't know if we want to spend the time to do this or if we get much benefit from it, but I think where the public comments would get really interesting would be once that's out, post it, and then see what citizens come back and ask questions based on those findings. It'd be interesting what kind of comments we get back from the city.
Or even put a couple of sample questions up on Facebook and have the citizens at this point say, what would you like to be involved in this FAQ? What would you like to know? And then we can compile and we can, and then I would say it could be a long enough, and you wouldn't want to meet till the end of time, right? But we meet till it's done, I guess. But perhaps it would be nice to have some of the more key questions answered before campaigning really gets going, you know, where it gets out, where people can say, okay, well, this is how I feel about this or that. Because there's been also this thought that says, well, a committee is here to smother the dissent, and I want to make sure that nobody can say that, right? So do we have to have the whole thing done? I guess that's the question. Do you have to have every question answered before you put answers out?
Yeah, it could be an ongoing list for the city, an ongoing document, living document.
Why not?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the city council itself could handle updating it as necessary once we finish. I mean, we are a fact-finding body, but ultimately the decision-making body is the city council. So what we can do is make a suggestion to the city council, but yeah, it could be a living document that they can update as necessary.
Where would this forum be held?
You're talking about the forum to collect questions?
Yeah, and distribute them. Would it just be on the city's website?
We just have to figure out what to do. It would be on the city's website. It would be printed. It could be anywhere. It depends on how long it is. Mm-hmm. But for sure, it would be on the website. We just have to figure out.
And I don't know if the city's always looking for content for the newsletter. We could always throw in two or three questions every month in the newsletter, you know, golf corner or whatever. So how often is it once a month?
Some questions are going to be imbalanced and need to be balanced with another question, I think. Some are going to be harsh. Some are going
to
be...
Well, part of what we wanted to do is come to a conclusion, put it to bed for a while. And so I'm wondering if in the newsletter every time that would be the best place. It may be just best to try to address them all as quickly as possible.
I suppose the mayor and the city council would have to decide. That's you, Rob, actually, and the mayor.
Both.
Okay.
Well, I do like a lot of the questions, Charles, that you had on here. They were thoughtful. And so I made a list of each of the ones you sent. They came in an email. I formatted it very roughly. So they're not, they're not perfect, but they are something to start with. If I can give these out, let's make sure my notes aren't on here. But you can use these as a jumping off point to think of some of the questions that you have. A couple more. So those are just some that he came up with, a couple I didn't think of and I liked them. But I don't think we need to go through those today. I think we can look through these on our own and begin to formulate questions that we care about. And then maybe in the next meeting we bring a list of our questions and discuss them and check off which ones we like, which ones we discard. Anybody second that?
A second.
Sorry,
thank you.
Distracted. I was reading.
Yeah, I was reading.
All right, that's it. That's good.
Make the motion again.
I'm just talking.
Rick, one question on that. I think you kind of mentioned this. Do we want to have some place to post where the citizens could post questions?
Because I think that would be.
Make sure we get them all answered. I think if we had a place to gather all citizens' questions, then we review them, and hopefully a lot of them are kind of redundant, but we might get some unique questions there that bring us some thoughts.
I have not posted anything on Facebook. I can in this case. I can put a simple question out. Does anybody mind if I do that on Facebook? Do you have a problem with that?
No. That'd be great.
I don't think that should be the only channel, though.
No, but it can.
I don't know what the other channel is, but I don't think that social media.
Well, that's true. There's only a few people reading there.
Well, I'm under the impression that there's only a few people who are even able to post within that specific Cedar Hills chat room. You have to have permissions to even get into to post. Isn't that correct?
Well, I would say this. We're going to have, as part of this, perhaps, you know, we're going to, you know, you're not going to get all the citizens. It isn't going to happen. But we sure can. I would like to see for our public comment, if we could specifically, I do recognize that there are, you know, a lot of, you know, people want to be heard about how they feel, but perhaps we could direct some of that to say, hey, is there a question you want to have answered, and try and get those up as well here.
May I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
You don't want to exclude anyone based on whether they're on a chat room or a part of this group or whatnot. I think that the newsletter goes out to the entire city. I think that that's where we suggest if you have questions.
When is that?
I would say the next newsletter, and then have them have an email address that they, and maybe it's just any city councilman or city council person or mayor, and list all their email address and say you can send them to any of these people, and it can be answered.
That's a good idea.
Or you could create a new email address called golfquestions@cedarhills, and
sure,
have it all go to one central place.
I like that too.
I have no control over any of that, so yeah, again, right, that would be in YouTube.
Yeah, we just make suggestions. We can't necessarily force
them. I do have a little bit of business, I guess, before we adjourn.
Rick, can I just say one thing? I think these questions are great, and I think we should put them out there wherever we can, whether it's Facebook or newsletter or wherever. I just don't want to see it open-ended. I want to collect the information, and I want to make sure we still have an end goal as a committee, so that at some point when we feel it's appropriate, we can put out our findings in something as concrete as possible. And I know we've talked about the legal ramifications there, but I want to make sure that when we have an end goal, just as I hope Rob does as well, so that we can really distribute something that's concrete and hopefully one way or another put this to rest.
Well, we need to make a recommendation to the council. That's what that's going to be.
That's fine. I just want to make sure
Have all of our questions answered for the FAQ to do that. I think if Rob has a couple of questions that you feel like you want to look at closely, we can get that out of the way quickly, and then that'll help us make a conclusion that says, for this election cycle, at least anyway,
that we can get to the council. Is that
what
we're
saying? Give to the council.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Everybody like that?
So I apologize, Rob. You said there's like two things still remaining. One was like put our business hats on and help them. Just let me elaborate.
Well, last time we came up with a lot of suggestions for the golf course, and I think we've implemented most of them, if not all of them, and some of them have some really good results. It'd be nice to hear.
I have a new one.
What they've done, and maybe look at the financials and say what improvements financially have we made since then, and then maybe look at, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, what other improvements financially do we want to make and how are we going to get there? I'd suggest we do something like that.
And I will say this, the golf course has done better than our projections and our hopes would be, so maybe our suggestions are small potatoes, you know, to what you guys have got going on. Yeah.
I did some financial kind of statements. One is going from the beginning in the format that you guys did before, and I also added some things that you as a committee could decide whether you want to include or not, and then I also have going forward the financial statement format for both the golf fund and the debt service fund. So I wanted to pass that out tonight, even if you don't talk about it, just so that you guys could review them, and if there's something in the format you don't like or you want to change, you can.
And I think our questions first are going to be legal, and second are going to be financial. And then we'll go with social and other issues, make sure, you know, we'll list some other things.
A quick suggestion for Charles. I noticed that the financials for the golf course were posted through 2011 on the website, but now we could post them through at least 2014 and pretty soon through 2015. There's a really nice place where it says golf course financials, and it has a summary all from the beginning of the golf course.
Are you talking about the PowerPoint?
No, there's on the website. Go to the website, look at the financial page, and it says golf course financial statements, and it has from 2004 to 2011 or something like that. And if you could just extend that through 2014, I'll show you if you don't know what I'm talking about. So, okay.
All right. We have in and out, you know, there's members of the committee that have been able to come and have not been able to come. some have consistently not been able to come, and it's been hard. I am going to be gone for a little bit. So I'm leaving next Thursday. I would be gone for two Thursdays, which is a lot. My suggestion may be that maybe we could meet next Wednesday. Would that be an issue with anyone here instead of Thursday? Is that an issue?
I won't be here, but that's okay. I won't be here next Thursday either. So.
I can arrange it.
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
If you need me there, Wednesday's a problem. I have some medical treatment on Wednesday nights.
I think we're okay. I think so. If we have a question, maybe an email.
We could handle it offline, I think.
Yeah, I think an email, and then we can.
Then they can be available by phone.
Yeah, okay, good. All right.
Eric, maybe we talk about what the purpose of the next meeting is, because if the next meeting is to maybe review our questions, I don't know if a week we're going to get it back. We may be able to skip. I mean,
we really
what is
could.
The purpose of the next meeting? We might not even meet every single week.
I would be fine with that. My issue is I guess I'd be gone for 2 weeks. So it would be a third week before we got back together. I don't want to be a situation where people are feeling like we don't get information out quick enough.
So maybe
that's
up to
you. But that said, you can also meet without me.
So let's.
I'm happy to let somebody
We got
to
decide what's the purpose of our next meeting so we come in with a purpose to it.
My thought or my proposal would be the next meeting would be to review questions. Sit down and basically say, what questions do we want to answer, and to begin to compile those questions. As we get the list of the top three or four questions, and maybe even down the line, we can actually start addressing those questions one at a time in our meetings. So even that could be handled a little bit. You know, I don't want to say offline, because there could be some citizens who are going to want to know what those questions are. I think it's going to be pretty comprehensive. I don't worry that there's going to be questions unanswered on both sides of this, right?
I would suggest you deputize somebody to be the co-chair.
That is easy for me to do.
Person.
That's easy for me to do. So is that what you'd like to do? Do you want to keep meeting? And I'll miss two meetings and come back?
I suggest we skip 1 week and then meet so that you don't miss two meetings.
Well, I know I could meet Wednesday if everybody else could meet Wednesday.
If we can meet Wednesday, then I can meet Wednesday and then we'll skip 1 week.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's my proposal. Anybody second it?
1 week and then meet the following Wednesday.
So no, we're going to meet. We're going to meet Wednesday.
Then skip the week,
the week after that, and meet the next Thursday after that.
Yeah. Appreciate the clarification. Sure.
So that's my proposal. Anybody second that?
I will.
Thanks. Aye. Vote.
So there's no
any opposed.
So there's no meeting on September 3rd, right? As we're saying.
I'm assuming that's what the date is.
That's Thursday, September 3rd.
Yes.
No meeting, right?
Right.
And then we're meeting next Wednesday.
And I think I would like next week not only to have some questions, but figure out what the key questions are and get some timelines out of how quickly we want to have those out for people to review.
And I presume this room's available next Wednesday? I just want to assume anything.
I'm assuming it's available.
How do we know if this room's available?
Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have
thanks.
The on the other side.
Okay, that's good. Thanks, all right. Then I propose that we adjourn.
Second, just come
out here. Hi, everybody. Okay, anybody opposed? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You were in that.
Yes, I was.
Hey, dude, it's been a one hour episode. And it'll help more.
Ben,
I think it's hard to undo.
I think it's hard to undo.